welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
There you go. You've already—it's 2 seconds in, and you've already messed it up.
I predicted it. I'm your host, Tim DLGG. And I'm joined tonight by at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter.
Yay! And no applause for me? I get no applause? Right. Okay, thank
you. I'm trying to multitask here. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking, clicking, and trying to go through my opening spiel all at the same time.
Internet is hard.
It really is. I was going to say dirt of popculturenetwork.com. And we also have joining us back this week is at Roddy Cat on Twitter and also of his news site at News Nerds Need.
Yeah, one of these days. Welcome. I'm glad to be back, fellas. So you know what this means. 6 hour podcast. Let's get into it. Woo!
A lot of ranting.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Nice.
And Agent 70 will be joining us shortly. He's running a little late, so I am manning the sound effects until he arrives. I did that on purpose.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's a nice cricket, so I know what the cricket sound will be. And I want to encourage everyone to go to our website, theclicknation.com, to find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. And go to Facebook and make sure to like the Facebook page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Follow on Twitter at theclicknation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/theclicknation. Circle us on Google Plus. And if you have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, make sure to send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And I want to also remind everyone that our comic book reviews are found on comicbookroundup.com. So you can go there. Yes, as of a couple weeks ago. Or at least my reviews are. So I want to send us. Yes.
Okay.
And the curious thing about them is when I group they don't see it when I group my reviews together. They see them as the separate pages, so they know to go and look, I guess, to get the number rating, even though they got it for my Superior Spider-Man rating, I believe.
Oh, so it's kind of like Metacritic.
Metacritic, yeah.
I heard about them on another website, and I was like, oh. And then I just went to the site, and I went to the about, and they were like, if you want your reviews to show up, email us. I was like, okay. Guy got back to me within the same day and was like, you're at it. So, and I think it helped because I got a lot of extra hits on the site this week.
People like those kinds of sites.
They do. And people love Superior Spider-Man reviews because that's always the big money maker.
Not after this month. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
There we go. That was appropriate.
Thank you. And let's see, other things to get out the way. We record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're ever at home and you're bored and you want to tune in and join us, just make sure to follow theclicknation.com. Give us nice iTunes and Stitcher Radio reviews and give us the 5-star rating so we can move up the power rankings. And if you're on social media, make sure to use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles so we can see your tweets, and you may get your tweets read on the show.
And go fund our Kickstarter so we can go and hit all kinds of comic book conventions and houses on the coast and all that other good stuff, which we don't have.
You started a Kickstarter?
No. But
well, you should.
I thought about it.
Fund us.
Yeah. We're good for it.
Good is a relative term.
Well, yeah.
We're good for it by giving you prime entertainment every week.
Mm. Is it, well, okay.
Is it prime or is it choice?
I was going to say.
It's prime because it's elite.
Uh-oh.
Because we're elitist.
Oh, no, I can't. Oh, okay.
with that out the way.
Yeah, let's move on.
I kid, people. So, let's see, news. Lots of news. Some movie news and comic book news. First up, we have X-Men Days of Future Past Trailer 2 was released.
Oh, wait.
Hey, you're a step ahead of me. I haven't even bothered to watch it yet.
I kind of went to it, watched it, and I was like, well, I started watching it. I shouldn't say that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna hurt myself like this. So like 10 seconds in, I was like, yeah, stop.
It was better than the first trailer. We saw Sentinels.
Yeah. I thought they did that one already.
They never did show the Sentinels in the trailer.
Huh.
But it's still a Fox movie, so it's like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Quicksilver, which we'll get to again in a couple of news stories. Next up, we have Forever Evil number 7, Nightwing 30, and Justice League 30 were pushed back to May. Forever Evil number 7 was pushed back, so the titles that directly were influenced had to be pushed back as well. So
it's such a shame because I went back and read a couple of the last issues because, one came out, what, was it last week or the week before we got number issue of 6 of Forever Evil?
Oh, yeah, it was like just a month ago.
And so I went back and I read the 2 right before it just to kind of catch up to it. And I was like, I really like this story, but it's like it should have all come out in like 4 weeks. Like, it should have been one of those things where, like, they dumped them all, like, within a month because the stories happen so close together, and it just feels like it's been stretched out so long.
They should have adopted the Marvel method of their event books of having every 2 weeks issue comes out.
Oh, I was about to say, what, one prime book and then 7 other tie-in books that have
just the main book, because Age of Ultron started it. They were putting that out twice a month. And Infinity, I think, was doing the same thing. And
yeah.
Original Sin supposedly is going to do the same thing. But yeah, the whole Forever Evil has taken up what? It's going to be half of a year worth of stories or of time being taken and books being in limbo because they haven't caught up to Forever Evil yet. And now they're going to have books starting the new era of the new 52 before Forever Evil ends.
Although, I guess this is kind of the scary situation, is that there's only like 3 books that have to be pushed back because Forever Evil is missing its date. So I guess none of the other books of the DC Universe directly tie into this, which kind of seems like a bad problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that every book in the DC Universe would be affected by this, but apparently not.
And Dork Geekus is tuning in tonight, and he says, Days of Future Past is the only film that has detrimental trailers. They actually kill excitement. So that's not a good thing.
Yeah. Although it could end up being better, you know, if I'm playing devil's advocate, it could turn out to be better than the trailers, maybe, possibly, probably not.
Let's see. In Spider-Man news, Marvel announced that Dan Slott is teaming thousands of Spider-Men versus Morlun in the Spider-Verse event in November. So we get Peter Parker back, and then we get a Spider-Man crossover.
But do we get Superior Spider-Man in that crossover?
That's what I was wondering about.
Because
it says it's supposed to be all of them. So
he is a Spider-Man.
He damn sure is.
Yeah.
So it better be.
On a side note, wasn't the other such a great Spider-Man arc?
If I had read it, I might be able to comment on it.
Let me go ahead and answer that. Nah, not really.
No.
The other.
Yeah.
That's where he got some kind of powers, right?
He was like the spider, I believe, comes in and beats the snot out of him, and he quote unquote dies, and he's like
goes in a cocoon. And...
Yeah.
Oh, he comes out with, okay, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Wait, this is growing out of that story?
No, but I mean, I think that was where Marlin comes from, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because I was like,
this is doomed to fail from the get go if it's part of that lineup.
Matter of fact, I think it might be, because now if I remember what they said about it, I had to click through the article, because they said Marlin is back to pretty much kill all the Spider-Man. So for some reason, it's going multiversal.
And Dan Slott was saying he enjoyed writing the story for the Shattered Dimensions video game so much that had the multiple Spider-Man. So supposedly one of the Marvel retreats, they had to talk him out of using Doc Ock in the story, and they were like, this is such a good story, it has to be Peter Parker.
Boo.
I don't see how that's actually true, but all right, sure.
Well, you know, at least we'll get an appearance from Spider-Ham, and that will at least elevate it to a level above what the new Amazing Spider-Man series is going to be.
One would hope.
We also have, in Spider-Man news, today they announced a Spider-Man 2099 ongoing series being written by the original writer of the Spider-Man 2099 book, Peter David, with art by Will Slaney.
Did we not see this coming?
We did.
Yeah.
I was happy, and I'm still happy.
I thought it was just going to be a fish out of water Miguel in 2014. I didn't know it was going to end up being some, you know, going back to the future. He's going back to the future.
We got to go back.
Great Scott. But, I hate, at one point when I was, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, the idea of going way off into the future and doing some story always seemed so incredible and awesome. But now that I'm older, it's like they never count for anything. They're never important. History eventually will catch up to them at some point, and the history doesn't work out, and then it's all got to be dumped. You know, it's just, I'm over it.
And you kind of have to figure, I guess, since all the other time stuff is going crazy, they might as well get this book in here now while they still have that going for them.
It'll fill the void left by the Venom and Scarlet Spider books.
Yes. That's a void we need to fill.
In the Spider-Man family.
Sure. And people love Spidey 2099. I can't say that I've ever been one of them, but...
Yeah, I mean, I read the book back in the 90s when it came out, but and hopefully this doesn't stop us from getting some type of Superior Spider-Man Doc Ock spinoff book, which we'll get to shortly.
Oh, Dark Geekus, where we at it says Marlin came earlier. He appeared with Ezekiel, whom I don't remember.
Yeah, this is the age of Spider-Man where I stopped reading at the time.
No, he was that guy from Pulp Fiction, wrote the 2517. You know, when Samuel Jackson is shooting the guy, he's always talking about Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a really old character in the story. Like, he actually predates Spider-Man.
Ah, he was the first Spider-Man?
Or the first Spider-Ham, yes. Maybe.
So we also have, and going back to trailer news, today was also the official release of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer from Michael Bay.
Which
Dirt loved.
And I won't say I loved, but I expected to absolutely hate it, and I didn't.
Was it a shell of a time?
it was I can't think of another good pun. Like, you really threw me off there. But no, it was one of those things. I expected it to look as terrible as the Transformers movies. I expected the designs to be god-awful. I expected them to be aliens from another planet, because that had been leaked out before. I expected, you know, just all sorts of terrible things. And at the end, they look like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're really agile. They're kicking butt and look pretty cool. You get a glimpse of Shredder, just a real quick shot of him, and he looks like a badass samurai. I mean, there's a lot of explosions. There's a lot of lens flares and stuff like that. But I mean, that's what you expect from a movie like that. So I thought for sure that trailer would come out and I would want to just like smash a window with my face. And instead I watched that trailer and I'm just like, oh, yeah, okay, that looks decent.
I do want to remind you were saying at least they weren't jive talking turtles, but give it time. We haven't seen Bebop or Rocksteady.
I guess if you want racist stereotypes to come in, those would be the two you'd aim for.
Yeah.
But I hated the Transformers movie so much. And it was so much worse when everyone was going, oh, they're so great. These are the best movies ever. It's like, no, they're not. So as long as people are going into Turtles going, oh, this is going to be the worst movie of all time before they see it, and then they actually see it, and then they're like, ah, you know, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't the best thing ever, but it wasn't terrible. Then great. Like, that's the expectation that I'm hoping for. But, you know, if everyone comes out and says, oh, that's the best movie ever, then, okay, we're going to have some problems. But if everybody's like, oh, that movie's just trash, like with the RoboCop remake, that everyone was like, oh, that movie's going to be so terrible. How dare they do that? It's PG-13 and blah, blah. And then the movie comes out and it's actually pretty good, you know, then it's like, okay, I think it's time, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody after watching this trailer. That's a win.
Okay. My immediate thought was, hey, I'm watching a Transformers trailer.
That's, yeah, I haven't seen it, but that probably sounds like the appropriate reaction.
Which turtle turned into a truck? I didn't see that part.
The one that was leaping off buildings as debris was falling everywhere and jumping and landing in front of and behind April O'Neil to scare her, a la Transformers 1.
Although, to be fair, that's what they also did in the original Turtles.
Did they?
They reveal themselves and she's like, Turtles,
Yeah.
Did they just walk out from like shadows, or did they drop out of the sky?
No, she's being attacked by the Foot Clan, and then they beat up all the Foot Clan, but she can't see them because it's shadows. So then, as soon as the dust settles and everything, they come out and reveal themselves, and she's just like, "Oh my gosh, I can't take it."
Yeah, they just walk out though.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, that's the same thing in this one.
So, yeah, put it this way, the trailer was a lot better than the X-Men Days of Future Past.
I'm not sure if that's saying that much, but all right. Yeah, we'll go with it.
There's your level of, you know.
Your benchmark, huh?
All right. Benchmark. And back to more movie news. So Avengers Age of Ultron has started filming, and set pics have started to pop up online. You can see Hawkeye with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. And you see Hawkeye in his slightly different ensemble that looks a little more like his classic outfit, but not terrible.
No, hey, watch that. Respect the original costume, all right?
I like the look in the new movie. Yeah. He looks like sort of more medieval-ish, I guess more carny.
Yeah, okay.
In a good way. And with Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier, airing overseas, of course, video of the first after-credit scene has popped up online.
And like, what, the first 15 minutes of the movie or something?
No, the post-credit scene, I'm sorry, not after-credit, the post-credit.
Yeah.
Scene.
Yeah, there was an article a couple few days ago about, there was like, here's the first 10 minutes of the movie. I'm like, I will tweet this out, but I will not watch this.
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, it's half the stuff in the trailer.
Oh.
Well, I see like some stuff I sometimes I don't want to be spoiled, and other times I'm just like, okay.
Right.
It looks, I will attempt to verify this later, but it looks like Winter Soldier has already leaked online.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that probably.
So keep in mind, there are two after credit scenes, post credit.
Okay.
And that's all I will say.
I'm looking through some of these files that have been posted online that are reportedly the movie, and some of them are obviously fakes. Happens all the time where someone will take another movie and they'll password protect it and upload it. And they'll say, if you want to see, you know, for instance, in this one, it's like, if you want to see the movie and you want to unlock it, go to this website and fill out the survey. And of course, you fill out the survey and it fills your computer with spyware and viruses and everything like that. But there are a couple posts that actually look like they might be legitimate. So I'll have to check those out later.
I will wait for the bit screen. Now that I would not spoil myself on.
Well, it's just a Marvel movie. I mean, who cares?
And Roddy Cat has something about, it seems more and more certain that we live in a multiverse. I said about.
Well, let me get back to it. So basically, the long and short of it, scientists being scientists, someone made an article from the New York Post saying that, hey, the Big Bang might have begat more than just the universe we know. So this is science. I can only go so far with that.
Yeah. So. This is what Jonathan Hickman's talking about in his Avengers books.
Yeah. So,
which I'll complain about later.
Yeah. And DC's accordion universe. So, you know, it comes up every now and then. Why not? Wouldn't you like to know there's another Tim that may or may not be doing this exact same thing? Or doing something slightly different.
No, he'd be more successful, and then it's just sad at that point.
Yeah, just make me more depressed. Or it could encourage me to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
So that's it for news. Let's get on to some reviewing.
Hold on, I'm tweeting. We got people tweeting at us tonight. I'm having a hard time keeping up.
Yes, shout-outs to Dork Geekus.
Basically, the conversation that's come up is that Dork Geekus wanted to know how come April O'Neil isn't a redhead in this movie. And that's because April O'Neil wasn't originally a redhead. In the original comic book series, she was a brunette. And later on, when they made the cartoon and the Archie tie-in comic, they decided to make her a redhead. But before that, she was not a redhead. So... I guess maybe that's another reason why I'm kind of drawn to this version of it, because it's going back to the original Mirage concept of the characters, not the Archie cartoon version that they already did a movie of.
Oh, okay.
So when you hear someone going, I can't believe it, it looks so terrible, they didn't even make her a redhead. That's when you know it's like, all right, dude, you got no credibility. We're going to take this to the street and rumble, man, because you can't hang.
I'm not going to lie. That probably would have been me, but for a slightly different reason.
I mean, I really don't like Megan Fox as an actress, so for that reason I don't like it.
Yeah, but I was going to say, let's complain just about that.
But the fact that she's not a redhead actually makes sense.
So... Okay. Let's see, where do we want to start? I think I actually want to start with Superior Spider-Man.
Yes, get that out of the way.
Or as Dirt labels it, F you Dan Slott.
That's as nice as I could be about it.
The main thing to take away from this is, of course, spoilers. Peter Parker is back in control of Spider-Man's body.
Yeah.
And he's back. And he's back in the traditional red and blue suit. And it's so far, this has been the most exciting part of Goblin Nation, because it's kind of been eh.
Yeah, it really has. That's been the other big problem with this story, is that it just seems like really they go, oh, okay, we've got that other movie coming out. We need to relaunch Spider-Man. Here, you got 4 months to try to do something. And so it just seems like they go, oh my crap, we got to hurry up. And there you go. Okay, now he's back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Ermagerd. Peter Parker, Burke.
And I guess part of it is still they're still teasing who is really the Goblin King. Is it Norman Osborn or is it going to be a Swerve? Which I've seen a couple of theories online about what it could, you know, who it could be. But basically, Doc Ock realizes that he's not built to handle all this, you know, people, you know, enemies going after his loved ones. And as Peter Parker's ghost tells Otto, you know, it takes a special kind of hero to put yourself in danger, you know, put yourself out in line, even if it could, you know, put you at a disadvantage. And Doc is like, yep, you're right. I suck. Here, take over. Erase my memories. And that's it. And I'm like, it was too dry. Yeah, too cut and dry, too convenient. Just, it was too quick. He defeated too easily.
And then there was the whole, well, luckily I still have this machine sitting over here that I never dismantled, I never unplugged, I never put away, so I can just sit back down in this chair and flip the switch and everything goes back to normal.
Yeah, so that was kind of convenient.
Like, there was no effort involved, there was no big struggle to get there or anything like that. It was just like, oh my gosh, the city's on fire, I don't know what to do, so I guess, oh, good, you're still in there, even though I lobotomized you several months ago? Well, okay, since you're still there, you're back in control of the end.
When the going gets tough, Ock gets going, huh?
Except that he had faced this problems like this before and stood up to it and persevered and overcame. And then it happens a second time. Well, oh, this time, obviously, I can't handle it.
He's like, wait, this is going to keep happening? No.
You are the better man, Parker.
So.
Yeah, it says, Roddy Cat says, why I failed. I'm going to give up because I wasn't better than Parker. Basically what happened.
Which actually throws in the face the whole storyline up till now, because if he failed, then the whole thing has been every time there was a problem, he's like, well, unlike Parker, I'm going to figure out how to beat this. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to come back out on top. And every time there was a problem, he's like, I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to come back out on top. And then something else would happen. I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to come back out on top. And then something happens again. And it's the only real thing that affected Otto in this whole thing was that Anna Maria, his girlfriend, got kidnapped. Oh, well, I can't save her. So I guess the only way to save her is to give everything back to Peter. It's like for months and months and months, it's I'm going to persevere. I'm going to overcome this because I am superior. And now suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, I can't take it. To save her, I guess I just got to quit.
And then to cap it off, he tells Peter that Peter is the superior one.
And here's the other thing that gets me is that for months and months and months and months, people have been like, oh, I really want Peter to come back. I want everything to go back to the way it was. I hate the way they've been treating this character. You know, they've ruined his legacy over the last couple of years and on and on. But Peter coming back doesn't fix the Daily Bugle. It doesn't fix Jameson the mayor. It doesn't fix Aunt May being married. It doesn't fix him being divorced from Mary Jane. You know, like, it doesn't fix all of these other problems. It's like everything else that they hated about it up until the point of Amazing Spider-Man 700, everything else is still broken and wrong. You know, it's like everything that they were so pissed off about in the past is still there, and it's still something that they should be pissed off about, but, you know, oh, I guess it's okay now.
So how many books until, you know, everything kind of, quote unquote, goes back to real normal, and there's like, okay, people, those self-same people are like, well, you know, what's going on? So
I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of Original Sin, in order to bring the Watcher back to life, they detonate a time bomb, which resets the universe, and suddenly everything is back to the way it was 5 years ago.
See, this is why I wanted that rampant speculation article going on, because I like that.
Rampant speculation.
Huh?
Rampant speculation.
Yeah.
You want the last 5 years of the Marvel Universe to not exist?
Oh, no, not all of it, but, you know, just There are parts. There's parts, you know. We can cut down on some, well, I guess we'll get into that a little bit. We can cut down on, and I'm saying this as a real big Avengers fan, we can cut down on some of those books.
We'll get to, yeah, well,
like I said, we'll get to that.
I'll get to it now because I didn't write Avengers down on my list of books read, but I did read Avengers 27, I believe it was. I don't know what the hell's going on. Hickman mumbo jumbo. I didn't read this week's new Avengers, but I read it last week because they came out back to back weeks for some strange reason. But last week's new Avengers confused me, and of course his Avengers confused me. I just know it's multi. They're doing DC stuff with like the multiverse, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I kind of got that vibe also, and it's like, all right, I'm going to stick with this, see where they're going, but this is so far, this is kind of getting a little out of hand.
Do you think this is like they saw that they were doing Forever Evil and bringing the Justice Society from Earth 3 to Justice League, and then they went, oh well, now we have to do an alternate universe and bring in characters?
It wouldn't surprise me because was it the Ed's office did Nick. It's Crosha, Nick Crosha storyline, and then DC did Black as Night, resurrecting people. So it's not the first time that both companies have done basically the same story at nearly the same time. Batman dying, Captain America dying, both of them traveling through time and getting back to life.
Yeah, and even though I'm way behind on Uncanny Avengers, that has pretty much set some kind of precedent for some of this going forward. So,
see, that's different. I don't mind time travel stories. Mm-hmm. I don't like multiverse stories. Mm-hmm. If that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah,
right. Does it?
Yeah, I mean, they can be. I mean, it's a lot to handle if you're doing stuff like that. But if there's some kind of focus that comes out of it, then it could probably work. You know, but in this one, let's go back to Avengers 27. When the Adapto is pretty much bounce, you know, and go wherever they go, that's going to come back up some kind of way. You know, we don't know where, well, we don't know when, but that is clearly going to come back up in some kind of way. You know,
something else this book or this arc has contained that I also don't like besides multiverses is AIM. I'm tired of AIM.
You know what? We're going to get to that too, because there's a couple of books that AIM probably going to pops up in, or at least one other one. But
AIM Island and these AIM scientists and there's nothing threatening about them to me.
What do you mean? They're evil scientists. That's always threatening. If anything, scientists are always out to kill us. I love science. Don't get me wrong. But they're trying to kill us.
Got to kill them first.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've ranted enough.
You want to stay on the Avengers train or break off for a second?
We can knock the Avengers stuff out if you'd like.
All right, Avengers Assemble 25, RIP.
Because I should have read that instead of Avengers 27. So I've actually been enjoying the Avengers Assemble last couple issues.
And thanks, Tim, because now it's over.
Yep.
But it was a good read. You know, I actually kind of slightly want a Spider-Girl book out of this for some reason.
She should be involved in Spider-Verse.
Yeah, she should. Which would bring it back to that. But
yeah. I think they said she was going to be.
Yeah, her and Mayday.
She got a new outfit to sport.
Yeah.
Mean to get a writer and an artist on it.
Yeah. I mean, because the whole last run of Avengers Assemble has pretty much been her getting mentored by the Avengers and while all the while going after, you know, trying to find her missing teacher who was, hey, guess what? Humanity is still kind of in play on that, except for they found him already. But it ends up, they ended up going, again, AIM kind of comes up in this book as the big bad. Well, AIM and this other chick named Toxidoxy, who they swiftly pretty much take care of. I don't think, I mean, Book to Leave is going away, so she won't come up there, and they probably won't come up there. But I kind of like how it just kind of came together. Everybody, like, pretty much they rain and force to finish this up. You know, I got a couple of licks in. It was pretty cool.
Toxie Doxie sounds like a garbage pail kid.
Yeah. Her quote-unquote powers are kind of off on that also. So she's basically a scientist who's like, she's like, actually, there's a Poison Ivy vibe to her, let's say. Minus the plants.
So did this end on a nice note?
Yep. It wrapped up pretty decently. Yeah.
I was going to say, it did look like it ended on one of those things where it may be picked up in another book that hasn't been announced or something like that.
Nah. It pretty much wraps this up. I mean, the only thing is it kind of ties it back to, like, say, one or two issues back. Something small that happens a couple of issues back. But, nah, it wraps up clean.
Gotcha.
So, but like I said, if anything, like just like I said, it could open up Spider-Girl getting another book if they really wanted to.
And the last Avengers book I'll bring up is Uncanny Avengers. We mentioned a minute ago, starting to Avenge the Earth arc, where all the mutants are on Planet X because, spoiler, a celestial blew up the Earth. So Wasp is the only living human left among a world of mutants. And the only thing I complained about was I'm tired of the, you know, if you have evil mutants, it has to be Magneto and Toad and Blob and Pyro.
The Brotherhood?
Yeah, it's like what they call themselves, X-Force now. It's like, can we include some other mutants in whenever you need Magneto to have flunkies?
Yeah, where's Dark Longshot?
Yeah. But at least in the previews for issue 19, they showed that Cable and Scott and Storm, Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops, are around. So we do see them all working together. I suppose they're working together.
Wait, are you saying old Cyclops or all new X-Men Cyclops?
I think it's older Cyclops, because this supposedly takes place a couple years into from the present. Because, another spoiler, Havoc and Wasp have a daughter. So a couple years have gone by since they've been on Planet X.
Yeah. Okay. Here's something. I'm way behind on this book, but I kind of saw them touching on that or something like that, even where I am. Man, it was kind of whatever. So it's kind of weird how they've painted Wasp throughout this whole book, or at least from what I've read so far. So it's kind of, but it's not like outside of character, just a little stepped up.
I mean, I never read Avengers stuff growing up, so this is my first time actually reading anything with Wasp in it.
Mm.
She's been portrayed finely, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in older runs of Avengers, she was like, you know, she was the chairman. She was like real strong at this and another. She was in the beginning, she was real flirty and all that kind of stuff. But this was kind of, it's not a, I don't know, it's just me, maybe. I don't know. So she's always been kind of flirty and flighty, which some would argue some kind of way I'm not going to touch on, but but she's has been a little portrayed slightly. Well, she's always been competent. I shouldn't say that. So
that's it for Avengers talk.
Yep.
What, nobody read New Avengers?
Not yet.
It was on my list. I just didn't make the cut. Did you?
No.
This would have been one of my first ones to do, but it was like I was trying to catch up, so I was like, I'll come back to this.
It's a new Point Now issue. Good luck jumping into a Jonathan Hickman book. Tell us about Cybertron and Transformers stuff.
Oh, I guess I can do that. All right, so basically, 2 years ago or so, they rebooted.
He just transformed.
Running terror every month.
Hello?
Whoa, I actually just freaked out. What happened?
You're breaking up.
Is your internet going
out? We've got a storm rolling in. So yeah, there's a thunderstorm coming. So
you just got better.
Okay. So basically, about 2 years ago, they relaunched the Transformers books. So they had two books running in tandem. They had More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, two different series. And they were taking places in two different parts of the universe. And it was really kind of confusing because they kept hinting at things and putting little, I don't know, little glimpses of things happening that didn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense. And I figured I hadn't read enough of these books, so I didn't really know what was going on. As it turns out, all of these little things were building up to this storyline. So 2 years ago, they basically started this storyline that just wrapped up. And what they did is this massive crossover that they called Dark Cybertron, where Megatron basically comes back. Galvatron comes back, Shockwave comes back, all of these like original Transformers that you remember, you know, from being a kid, all of those original Generation 1 characters returned. And basically Shockwave had this plan. He'd basically gone crazy. And over the course of all these millions of years, because they're robots and they live, you know, for eons and eons, he's painting the destruction of the universe. And you find out through what's been going on in these books, through the history of the characters, that the Autobots weren't necessarily always the good guys, and the Decepticons weren't necessarily always the bad guys. The whole thing, the whole battle between them basically kicked off because the Autobots were really almost like tyrants. They ran Cybertron. Everything had to be in perfect order. Everybody was assigned a job. They had to do their job. You couldn't learn anything if it wasn't part of your job. You weren't allowed to go anywhere if it wasn't part of your assignment. And the Decepticons just wanted to be free. They just wanted freedom to go out and live their lives and do their things. Did I lose everybody again? Are you still there? So...
Nope, still here.
Okay. Yeah, still here. And we have Agent 70 trying to...
That must be it. I'm hearing his feedback. So basically, at one point, Shockwave is the one that the Autobots fear the most, so they actually tried to lobotomize him. And when they lobotomized him, they basically turned him into the psycho who was set on destroying the universe. And so this story basically... brought all the characters back together in order to have this big face-off against Shockwave. And in the process, you had Bumblebee ends up getting killed. You have Metroplex ends up coming back. You had Devastator ends up getting rebuilt. You know, the Combiner toys when you were a kid, they came back. All of these classic characters returned. And in the end, Megatron has this realization that what he's wanted all along was freedom. He wanted the ability to make his own decisions, and he realized that his trying to reach his goal hurt a lot of people, killed a lot of people, and he understands that what he did wasn't right. And at the same time, the Autobots are beginning to realize that what they did wasn't always right. They were always trying to get law and order, but sometimes you have to bend the rules, sometimes you have to break the rules, and they didn't really understand that at the time. So there's this big, like, look at society and some of the things going on in our world that's being reflected in this comic about toys, you know? And in the end, Megatron realizes that the only way to start the change, the only way to really bring about this revolution and to build the bridges is he's got to switch sides. So he gives up being the Decepticon and becomes an Autobot as part of this. Part of it is a grand gesture. You know, part of it's like kings, you know, marrying their daughters to a prince from another kingdom type of, you know, political type thing. But at the same time, he realizes that he himself, because of the mistakes he's made, he has to change himself. And, you know, I was surprised at how deep this story actually was. You know, when you think about Transformers, you don't think about deep stories about society and morals and motivations and politics. And, you know, those types of things are not what you expect from cars that turn into robots, you know. And so I was really just blown away by how deep and intriguing and interwoven the story was. And so by the time I got to the end of the story, I got to the end. This is the finale issue that wraps up this big crossover and basically brings these 2 years of stories, you know, to a close. By the time I got to the end of it, I was just kind of blown away. Like, I was almost speechless by how good the story was. And so it probably goes back to the idea of expectations, like we talked about with the Turtles trailer a little while earlier. It's like, you don't expect a really deep, thought-provoking story to come out of a comic book based on a toy line. But in the end, that's what you got here, and I just loved everything about it.
It was 12 parts long?
Yeah, this crossover was 12 parts, but, I mean, technically the story started 2 years ago. But you could technically just read these 12 parts and get this story.
So is IDW going to cancel and relaunch the books with new number ones?
No, they're not doing the Marvel thing. The books are going to continue on with their numbers, but basically one book is going to follow Optimus Prime and one book is going to follow Megatron, but they are both considered Autobot leaders, just leading different sides of the same, you know, faction.
So Megatron's taking the Bumblebee book.
Megatron's taking the book that had Optimus Prime and Hot Rod and Ultra Magnus and all of those guys. Megatron's going to be taking that book. And Optimus Prime is going to be taking the book that had Bumblebee and Starscream and everybody on Cybertron.
Gotcha.
That is intriguing.
Yeah, so if you've ever had an affinity at all for Transformers, then you definitely, this is the book that you want to jump on. But if you ever have like a Saturday afternoon or you're going on a trip somewhere and you want something to read, I mean, definitely grab this story and just devour it while you're on vacation or whatever, because it really was, a thousand times better than anything I expected.
Nice.
Who wants to go next?
Yeah. Follow that, suckers.
I'll pick something then. Let's talk about the end of the Trial of Jean Grey in Guardians of the Galaxy number 13.
Oh.
Sorry. So,
like, Trial of Jean Grey, I don't have that book.
So, like, I'll take you through my thought process once I was done with the book. I finished it and I was like, man, that sucked. Then, like, 30 minutes went by, and I thought about the stuff that happened in the book some more, and I was like, okay, this isn't so bad. But then it also made me realize it's a typical Bendis event book, where by the end of it, nothing – you could say, on one hand, nothing really happened, but then stuff did happen. I say that because all he does – all that happened – it's like it ended just like Battle of the Atom. Nothing happened at the end of that, or by the end of that, nothing happened, but all he did was move chess pieces around. That's all that kind of happened here.
So is it set up for something that could happen, he could come back to?
Well, they set up the Cyclops ongoing book, which was announced a couple months ago.
Right.
There's a new development with Jean Grey and her powers. And possibly, I guess, maybe some future friction with Shi'ar and Guardians of the Galaxy. And Angela gave Jean Grey a look at one point. Whatever that could mean.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, it was one panel of her kind of like looking at her off in the distance. It's like, okay, what are you trying to tease?
Like, hey, I got my eye on you or something?
Yeah. Because, you know, people are like, is Angela Jean Grey from the regular 616 Jean Grey, not past Jean Grey or whatever? or see Jean Grey reincarnated or whatever. But so it had awesome art by Sarah Pacelli and Dave Marquez. At one point, you can't even tell whose is whose. Even
That's
though,
good.
You know, faces you could, but I mean, overall, the art, at least the coloring, made it look seamless. And they teased some flirting with Peter Quill and Kitty Pryde, as if you needed that to go on.
Yeah, that was out of the blue.
Yeah. But, so yeah. Stuff happened, but nothing really happened. The Bendis trademark.
Mm. So I didn't read Guardians this week because of the fact that it was a tie-in. Is it pretty much a... It's not a tie-in. It's pretty much next chapter, right?
It meant more as a finale to all new X-Men stuff than anything having to do with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, okay.
So and there
I
you go.
Just have to read through it.
So, Age of 70, you got anything to chime in with?
I've missed a lot of what's going on tonight, so I don't know what you guys spoke of. Can you just give me a quick recap?
Yeah, we talked about Transformers.
I heard that part.
And we talked about the Avengers books.
And we talked about Spider-Man.
Oh, you did do Spider-Man, of course. That's got to lead the pack.
What's your Spider-Man thoughts?
I'm obviously happy that... that the one true Peter Parker is returning, and I was happy to see that, you know, some more comeuppance. That's my favorite word regarding Otto. I'm kind of curious to see how they're going to spin this so that Spidey 2099 has his own ongoing, which I think was announced the other day or just today.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm kind of curious to see where that goes. You know, it's... There's a couple of interesting tidbits on how they're going to be developing the new status quo for the Spider-Man books, where Mary Jane is going to be, where some of the other supporting characters are going to be. You know, we just have, what, one more issue to go? So,
one more.
Right. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm glad to see Peter Parker back in charge. I don't think this is the last we'll see of Otto, though, even though it looks like he's fading away. You know, just like we thought Peter Parker faded away, I don't think Otto's fading away for too long.
Yep. And we talked about Spider-Verse, how we're not enthused.
No, I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very interesting. Let me see if I can throw out something. Have we talked any DC yet?
We haven't.
No.
Floor is open.
Let me throw out, anyone read Aquaman number 29?
Yeah.
So I was reading this on the way home today, and I was kind of disappointed in this because I know the last few issues have been very entertaining, and this one just sort of read, you know, I could sort of see things happening before I turned the page. You know, it was kind of, you know... It tries to set up the reintroduction of an Olympian. I won't spoil everything into the Aquaman books. And but if you're familiar with Greek mythology and the myths and some of the renditions, once you see how they draw this particular character, you can kind of figure out who it is without, you know, being too surprised. I'll give you a hint with mild spoilers. Where's the bell? Ding, ding, ding. The hint is it could have been Dwayne Johnson in this book.
Or Kevin Sorbo.
What's that?
Or Kevin Sorbo.
That's right.
So he could be playing an Atlantean?
No. We're talking about the particular Olympian that makes an appearance in this book.
Oh.
So
not a Michael Phelps Olympian.
Right.
A mythological Olympian.
The Hercules trailer was released today.
Speaking of Hercules. So.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had the same feeling you did with this. Like, I was a little disappointed. Like, I got done with it. And I was like, well, I mean, that was kind of cool. But really, just like whatever. Like,
right, it definitely just sort of happened, and it just wasn't as it was not on par with the most recent issues, which had me very excited to read the title.
It almost felt like he knew where he was starting and he knew where he was ending, and somewhere in the middle he kind of lost the story and he just had to fill a couple pages,
I guess,
with just random monsters eating people.
Right.
And it was just like, oh man, I got two pages to fill here somewhere in the middle. Okay. Panel one, he eats people. Panel two, monster eats people. Panel three.
Yeah. Monsters do something and they call
woman
out.
Says
yeah.
cryptic thing about monsters eating people. And right. you know, it was just a couple pages where it's like, well, I mean, that was kind of a waste, but
yeah, I agree.
I mean, it didn't sour me on the whole book. It's not like I'm throwing it down. Like, oh my gosh, I can't never read this again. You know,
no, but it definitely soured me on this particular issue. I was yeah. very, you know, I was kind of disappointed that, you know, I read this and
this will be the book in the middle of the trade that you kind of skim through as you're trying to get to the meat of the story.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's, you know, that's Aquaman 29 for this week.
So yeah, Aquaman it's been kind of up and down since.
Well, it's been pretty much up. It's been up for a while. I think this is the first kind of like mid, you know, kind of a. I don't want to call it a complete clunker, but it definitely was not on the same level as the first few issues.
Okay. I will be reading it. I haven't got to it just yet.
All right. Let's see if there's anything else. Hey, did anyone read the Silver Surfer number one?
Yes.
All right. Did you anyone do a review on it?
You can go to theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com to read my review.
There you go. There's the plug. There is the plug.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. So
what are your thoughts?
Meh. It's one of those books that everyone hyped up, and I'm enjoying Dan Slott's Superior Spider-Man, so it's like, yeah, I'll read this. I like the background given for Silver Surfer's female companion, Dawn.
Definitely.
And yeah. just like in all the interviews leading up to this launch, I guess maybe if you're a fan of Doctor Who and watch that show, maybe you enjoyed this, but I was really? Just kind of like, eh.
Is that where Wait, we're
catch that one?
Well, in all the interviews, Dan Slott's like talks about how he's a big Doctor Who fan, and
that's true.
Trying to
this cosmic being traveling through space and time with his female Earth companion.
Yeah.
I know nothing about.
I'm not all that familiar with Doctor Who, so I didn't realize that was the dynamic.
I am, but I didn't even think about that.
I don't know anything about it either. I just know what he said in interviews.
Honestly, so
I know it's got a kick-ass theme song.
You know what I thought of this? I liked the development of the female companion. I did like that. And what hooked me into reading the next issue was the very last page and the way Slott writes that last line that the Surfer delivers.
Right.
That was funny.
Right. That got me thinking I'm going to read the next issue. So I give Slott a lot of credit for that.
I probably won't read it again.
I will.
I have no problem. Like, yeah, I can find other things to read.
Yeah, so I was a fan of the night. What was it, the 90s Silver Surfer book?
Oh, the Starlin Surfer book.
Yeah, and the character itself is give or take, but you know the book was the book was all right. And this one, you kind of figure this book is going to need a couple of issues to set up,
right?
You know, so I'll at least give it the usual six, but we'll see how this goes. It's something to come back to, at least, I think.
Right. I'm definitely going to read the second issue. Like I said, it seemed like a good setup. And that last line, you know, the last line that the Surfer delivers, it's, you know, it's almost out of character, but still sort of in character. So it worked for me.
Yeah. And it was part of me had me thinking, I was like, is this girl? Because who was Surfer's girl?
Dawn?
No.
His wife.
Yeah.
Shalabal.
Yeah. I was thinking like maybe she was some kind of tie to her, or this could be some incarnation of her or something. I don't know.
Right. But
I have a book I want to bring up.
Uh-oh.
Real Heroes, number one.
Mm. Dun, dun, dun. Image Comics. There's something I didn't read.
You didn't really miss much.
Oh, no.
So, this is written and drawn by Brian Hitch.
Is there an Ultimates vibe, I mean, outside of this cover?
Yes, there is. And there, I guess it's a... what's the word I'm looking for? It's meant to be a vibe. Yeah. So basically, what you have are actors who play... They're the Olympians. And, you know, they're actors in a movie. And Olympians 2, the something, just launched. So they're at, like, a screening for it. It's funny because the issue starts off, it's them in the movie... You know, it's the movie. The movie is the beginning of the comic, and I'm sitting there reading like the first couple of pages. I'm like, "Oh my god, this is terrible!" Like the dialogue was cheesy, and it was so. But once I got to the part where they were sitting there watching themselves in the movie, I was like, "Oh, okay, it's a movie." So he was trying to make fun of how people act in movies. So I was like, "Okay," because thankfully I read enough to get to that point because I was about to just stop reading it because I was like, "This Ryan is crap." But so you know, you have your Captain America guy, your like Bruce Banner person, like everyone's basically a carbon copy of an Avenger. You have a speedster, someone that Longbow is the Hawkeye person, you know, it's a female. But anyway, so they're at the movie premiere and they're doing a meet and greet with some of the fans, and supposedly the movie company brings one of their robot villains from the movie, like a replica, there for the fans to see. Except there's a live robot and it starts like shooting and killing people. Like all the actors and stuff are like running away and they're being selfish, you know, immature celebrities. And then they get whisked away to some other dimension, where the other dimension is basically like a mirror of our universe, except like all this, the bad stuff does happen, the stuff that in the movies does happen. So they brought them there to be the heroes in the movie.
Wait.
So it's like Last Action Hero?
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Basically, it's Last Action Hero. I haven't seen Last You're Action Hero. Sad. I've heard about it.
Yeah.
So that's the hook. Would you say?
No, I was about to say, it sounds like you just read it, so I think you're good for not watching it.
Yeah. I was curious. It was a number one. It was Brian Hitch. Everyone loves Brian Hitch, so I had to read it. I'm not the biggest Brian Hitch fan like everyone else. The stuff's not bad. It's just maybe I didn't read all his good stuff like Authority and Ultimate stuff back in the day. So that's Real Heroes. And to finish off with Image stuff, I will bring up Alex and Ada number 5.
Oh, did you read it?
I did.
Uh-huh. Read it.
Maybe my click of the week.
Yeah, I love this series. This is a great series.
Yes, it is. So if, for those that don't know, Alex is a human who, I guess, is recently broken up with his girlfriend. And he's kind of been down in the dumps, and is it his grandmother or aunt?
His grandma.
Grandma buys him an android companion because she has a male android companion. So in this world, in the future, I guess people have the androids have somewhat sentient life, and you can purchase your android from a company. I forget the company's name. So his grandma gets him an android named Ada. He feels a little weird about it because it's like, you know, you have a robot essentially living with you, and it's beautiful, and, you know, do you mate with it or?
Well, and he also kind of feels like he feels really bad because every time he asks her something, she's always like, well, what do you want? It's like, you know, what should we do? Well, what do you want to do? And he kind of feels like I don't want a slave. You know, that's kind of what this feels like. It's like, this feels too much like I own a person. And he's really uncomfortable with that. And he wants to send her back, but he can't bring himself to send her back to the company because then it's like he's, you know, selling off a person. So he feels kind of responsible, like he's got to keep her, but he really has no idea what to do with this thing.
So it's the previous issue. He decides he goes trolling on the internet and finds a chat room or forum, and finds people that you can pick, basically people that can give the robot sentient life or open up its sentient life or sentient mind and basically make it where it's not a robot anymore, where it can make its own decisions. So that happened last issue, and this issue is kind of him dealing with, you know, Ada as a person that can make her own decisions, like will she decide to stay with Alex or will she decide she wants to go experience life on her own? And it's a book with a lot of talking in it, but it's normal conversation speech.
Yeah, the one thing that I really was kind of impressed with this issue is that the entire issue takes place in a hotel room. And it's like they never left the hotel room until like the final page of the book. So it's like the whole time they're there, she's now dealing with what it's like to suddenly be alive and to have emotions and, you know, reacting to the world around her. And it's like it almost felt like one of those independent, like, college movies. Like, you know, when you go see a movie that's, like, incredibly brilliant, but it's always filmed in, like, black and white, you know, with the two actors that you've never heard of before. Like, this almost felt like one of those experiments where it's like he sat down and said, could I actually do an entire comic where they're in the same room having a conversation the entire time? And that's what this issue was. It was really good.
They succeed.
Yeah. And it's got beautiful artwork.
Jonathan Luna, or did he do the right? Yeah, he did the art and aided on the scripting.
Yeah.
Anything else worth mentioning?
About Alex and Ada? Buy it. Read it. It's good.
Let's see.
Tim, Aldous Ghostwriter.
Yes.
Talk about it. Or can you? Because didn't they move that, or was that this week?
I thought it came out last week, but they moved it this week, so I did my review a week early. And people still clicked on it to read, I see, so thank you to those people.
There you go.
All-new Ghost Rider, Robbie Reyes, is a kid in, I think, East Los Angeles. He has a younger brother who's in a wheelchair, and people beat him up and try to take his wheelchair, and he sticks up for him and gets beat up. East Los Angeles is, you know, violent culture, so as far as we know, it's just the two brothers by themselves living together, having to watch each other's back. Robbie works at a car shop, and he takes one of the cars to run a race to win some money. During the race, of course, the police show up, and the police follow him, and he thinks he's going to get taken to jail, and he goes down this alley. He turns out an alley, and they give himself up to the police. And the police turn around and shoot him and kill him.
You gotta love it.
And then he turns into Ghost Rider. Why did the Spirit of Vengeance pick him? Who knows?
Oh, he didn't bring that up, huh?
No, it's kind of. Yeah, I was about to say, it's kind of where the issue ended. But I enjoyed the art by Trad Moore. It's different.
It's definitely different.
In a good way, though. The car race sequences were beautifully illustrated. The colors, I'm not sure who did the colors in this, but colors are nice, too. I like the look of the car-wielding Ghost Rider.
I like that. I definitely like that. It's definitely, you know, Fast and Furious with Hellfire.
He will be driving angrily, maybe?
All new angrily.
So are you gonna keep it up?
Or? Oh yeah, I'm gonna keep reading it. It's a teen superhero book, so I'm kind of biased for those.
That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's my wheelhouse. I read a lot this week, so I'm just gonna talk about a bunch of stuff I read.
Sure.
I'm gonna mention a Dark Horse book, Blackout Number One. This is a miniseries, a part of their Project Black Sky superhero line, where all the books are tied together. Captain Midnight, Brain Boy, Sky Man miniseries, X, Ghost, and this. So Blackout is he's a person that there's a suit of, I guess, like a suit that you can put on, and when you put it on, it allows you to kind of like teleport to another like side dimension, where basically like you're invisible and you can like walk through walls. You become basically like a ghost, like a blackout. And at least from the first issue, of course, I'm going in this blind. They might have kind of revealed what Blackout is in maybe other books. If so, I wasn't aware. But it sounds like maybe this company created the suit, and then suit got stolen, and then somehow it got left on the doorstep of this guy. And like his mentor may have been involved with creating the suit and dropping it off at his place, but now the guy's disappeared and missing. So the guy goes back. This guy puts on the suit and goes back to their office building to investigate. And then there's some people there, some military or thug people there to steal the suit. So it's written by Frank Barbary. Hopefully that's how you say his last name. He writes a bunch of stuff now. Let me see, how do you say his last name?
Is it Barbieri?
Yeah, Barbieri. He's riding one of the Gold Key characters for Dynamite upcoming. And he does a couple of Image books. I just know I see his name popping up all the time now, so I'm trying to take an interest in at least trying to read his stuff.
That was something I was going to bring up, but I totally forgot to find the article on that note, because there was an article about, I think it was Marvel and DC, basically branching out and looking for, like, you know, newer writers to kind of give shots to, or just kind of bring into the fold.
Marvel seems to be doing it a lot more than DC has.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's a good thing.
New blood.
So we don't see. Now, granted, we still will see like the Tall Souls and the other people, mannequins that keep popping up.
And for all new X Factor number 5, I just want to mention how it's become one of my favorite X books now.
Nice. I didn't get around to reading it this week. That's good. You like it?
You're kind of an X Men dude. So how's that? You know,
All New X-Men is number one. That's on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess, Uncanny Avengers, I'll count that as an X book, even though it has Avengers in the name. That'd probably be number two. And then X-Factor would be third. Uncanny X-Men, I don't know what it is about that, but that I'm kind of just to Uncanny.
Well, I guess we'll get on to Amazing X-Men in a second, but what's up with this?
Oh, so they let's see. As you see, Warlock is on the cover because he's a future member, and they battle his father, the Magus.
Magus.
he doesn't show up until later on in the book. That's all I'll say. He's initially someone else.
Okay.
And Danger is now on the cast, so she's kind of popping up, playing a role. And they have to go find, since they're finding Magus, and spoiler, you do the thing again for me. This time, Warlock is aiding his father, the Magus, which is that's usually not what happens, so X-Factor needs to go find Doug Ramsey to figure out why this is going on.
I was going to ask you if Cypher pops up.
Yeah, he's going to be a future member of the team also.
Interesting.
Yes, interesting. But yeah, so it's Force I'm not liking anymore because I'm not, I don't know, Sasperier, not too crazy about his stuff just yet.
It's okay. It's not, you know, it's nothing that's going to get me keep, you know, to keep coming back. So I wanted to shout out our girl, or at least my girl, Alyssa Milano, and Hacktivist number 3. I did not get a chance to bombard her with tweets because it's just been too hectic the last couple of days. But I wanted to talk about this book because it is now issue 3 of 4. And, the title Hacktivist, if you didn't understand what it was real, what that's really about, this issue really illustrates it and, you know, goes into, you know, how, you know, what the concept is behind a hacktivist, you know, the merging of the two words, hacker and activist. And, you know, the story basically is, just to do a quick recap of the first two issues, plus we deal with these two partners who establish a big company that's sort of a mix of Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of things called Your Life. And they use algorithms to sort of do social good in their spare time by kind of connecting people who are connected to the Your Life social media program and, you know, using that to help organize activism around the world. And, you know, the U.S. government kind of catches wind of this and they try to use it for their own purpose. And the government tries to repurpose it for their own purposes. And one of the creators goes AWOL, and we follow what happens to the AWOL creator and what happens to the creator who's left behind and is still sort of subject to the machinations of the United States government and the secret forces that lurk in espionage type parts of the government. So this issue is, this is definitely a third issue of a 4-issue limited series. This is not the jumping on point. You definitely want to read the first two issues. But if you have read the first two issues, this is a satisfying read, and you can definitely see that we're headed towards at least a short-term conclusion. And, I wonder if this isn't going to lead into more stories. I don't know if this is going to wrap up very neatly in the next issue. I think they're definitely developing this to be, if not an ongoing, definitely as multiple limited series. I can definitely see that potential. The art in this, by the way, is phenomenal. Highly recommended. I believe it's Marcus Toe and Ian Herring. Pretty sharp art, and the coloring, as we've come to notice, computer coloring has really started to develop and help with mood much more so than I think it did maybe even a few years ago.
And Marcus Toe is also the artist on New Warriors.
Ah, there you go. There's actually a pencil assist from David Cutler on this. Maybe Marcus Toe is a little busy with New Warriors. Huh. But shout out to Alyssa Milano. We'll be tweeting at you later.
Yes, we will.
Only show appropriate tweets, guys. Only show appropriate tweets.
Any other recommendations?
See, I'll bring up Hawkeye number 18 real quick.
Oh, I didn't read this yet. Well, what'd you think?
It was a decent read. We're in LA with Kate. She's still doing her PI business.
Okay.
Madam Mask is, while she's not around, she's still around. Apparently, they bring up, this is not so much of a spoiler, but they bring up the name Count Nefaria within the book, so there was a possibility she might be going into some confrontation with. But she's, like I said, she's basically doing her PI thing. This one kind of deals with, if you've been reading her side of the story, this deals with the guy she keeps meeting in the grocery store in the cat food aisle.
Hmm.
And The only other thing I can say about this book is, well, one, it looks like it's going to try to fold back into what's going on with Clint's side of the book.
Okay.
And also run the parallel because she's sounding like she's going to be getting into some similar issues as Clint. And also, I want to bring up the fact that R.I.P. Grills, and let's just say there's a similar situation that happens in this issue.
Oh, okay. So I guess I'll be reading this soon.
Yeah. So maybe they're trying to put everything back into one. It's been an interesting read though.
Okay. Did anyone read Indestructible Hulk number 20?
Nope.
Just very quickly on this book, I can definitely see why or how the concept of Banner working for S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe is starting to peter out. No pun intended, given Peter David's long run in this book. I think Mark Waid has kind of found a natural stopping point for that particular storyline. And I wonder if, this... I think I read there was an article somewhere or maybe it was an interview with one of the Marvel bigwigs where they said something along the lines of, don't be surprised if we start to deal more and more with like volumes of books and we get constant number ones every year or every 2 years.
Right.
Instead of, these ongoing series where we get to like, issue 500 at some point. And I think that, the concept behind this particular volume of The Incredible Hulk or The Indestructible Hulk is sort of run its course. And where we would normally, previously we would just see, blurbs on the cover that would say, oh, all new story, jumping on point, all new creative team. They're just going to relaunch with another number one. And it's just going to be a brand new concept, maybe, or just a continuation or modification of this concept. And, I can sort of see it. But, what's funny is that in this case, it sort of happened naturally. So, that says something about the way we developed this. But at the same time, I'm kind of annoyed that, there's definitely another number one coming very soon.
Something else I'll mention is kind of annoyed how... Like, for Avengers Arena, I knew that was ending, and I knew it was moving on to Avengers Arena. So, and since I liked Avengers Arena, I was excited for the end of Arena and beginning of Undercover.
Right.
But with Indestructible Hulk ending, plus they have all these, like, random artists on it, I'm just like, I don't even care to read the end of it anymore. But I will read the relaunched, Hulk singular.
Right.
Book. So, I know it's a slippery slope when you cancel stuff, announce something's ending, and then relaunching again as something else.
Right. It's really not. It's just another, it should be issue number 40 at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a danger that they definitely face, is because in your mind, you have this routine that we've gotten used to where when a book is canceled, even if there's a relaunch coming that you know of, usually the last few issues of the canceled series don't matter.
Right.
Because you know that it's going to be relaunching with a new writer, new storyline, whatever. So whatever they do in the last final issues isn't going to make any sort of difference. It's kind of like, the way Batman cartoons, it seems like every, 3 years there's a new Batman cartoon, and the Batman cartoon from the last couple of years just kind of disappears and goes away. It doesn't really matter. But the idea that Marvel has now, where it's just like every couple of years you get a new number one and they, try to rebuild the series, basically, it's like we have to kind of untrain ourselves from that idea, because it's really, like you were saying, it's like a new volume gets a new title.
Right.
It's like someone's going to sit down and say, I've got an idea for a story, maybe it'll last about a year and a half. So they'll do that year and a half story. And when their year and a half story is done, instead of bringing on a new writer, then the book is canceled and it's relaunched with a new title. And technically it's not really canceled. It's just that storyline is ending. So that title is ending, but the character is going to live on in a new title. And we have to, you know, retrain our brain and kind of get
right.
away from this
and adjust idea. To that, right?
Yeah. Because it used to mean when the book ended that the book failed.
Right.
And yeah. this could be a top-selling book. If this was selling 100,000 copies every month, they would still end Indestructible Hulk and start with Hulk number one. Like, it doesn't really matter if it's a success or a failure. It's not getting canceled because it doesn't have sales. It's just Marvel's new gimmick of pushing out new books is that they end one title and then restart it with a new title.
Hear, hear. You want to give us a rundown on The Walking Dead?
I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like there's a shark jumping scene coming very soon in this series.
No way.
Okay, so basically, all the survivors, all the good guys have been hanging out in this nice little community that they built for themselves. And this bad guy has come along because he wants half of their food in order to give them, quote unquote, protection. And so they're fighting back, and it's turned into this war, and people are dying, and stuff is burning, and the whole storyline hinges on this one character. There's one character who works for the bad guy who stepped forward and said, I'm on your side. I don't like this guy. I want to help you take him out. And so he, of course, the double agent, is, of course, the one who's given the task of killing Rick, the main character. And what he's supposed to do is take an arrow and dip it in zombie blood and shoot Rick with the arrow. So even if the arrow doesn't kill him, he'll be infected with the virus and he'll turn into a zombie anyway. So the whole storyline hinges on this infected arrow shooting Rick. Rick gets shot by an arrow. They take him inside. They're bandaging him up. They suddenly realize what the plan is of having all this infected blood getting into their system. But at no point did you see the double agent actually infect his arrow. It looks as if the arrow he shot was actually clean so that Rick is not infected and he won't die. But the entire story hinges on whether or not this arrow was infected. And they are playing... They are playing everything about this story as if, oh my gosh, Rick's now infected. Oh my gosh, Rick is going to die. Oh my gosh, you know, he's going to start turning into a zombie. Oh my gosh, it's the end of everything, and how will they continue on without him? And it feels so obvious that he's not infected. He is not going to turn. And everything that they're doing to try to push this concept is just kind of failing. It's like, you know, there's like this blinking neon sign saying, don't worry, he's not really dead. You never actually saw anything happen. But right next to that blinking sign is another giant blinking sign saying, oh my gosh, he's infected. He's going to die. It's the end of the world. Blah. And so I get done with the issue and I just kind of feel like, well, this is stupid. You know, like there's the drama that's supposed to be there. Isn't there the tension that's supposed to be there? Isn't there, this is just lame. And that's really kind of the worst thing that you can do in a book like this.
Wow. I haven't heard you be this harsh in speaking of The Walking Dead ever. So, yeah. You know, that says a lot.
So, I mean, unless there's some sort of other twist that's going to come out of left field, but the problem is if you bring another random twist out of left field, then it's not organic to the story either, and it's going to be just as stupid. So, I mean, there's nothing... It's a whole story sandwich with no meat.
I say usually you save the bad comments for Superior Spider-Man or X-Men stuff.
Well, I gave Superior Spider-Man a 90-second raspberry. I think that says enough.
So are we at clicks of the week time?
Actually, there's one thing we got to do first. We would be remiss if we didn't point out that this week.
What happened?
You're breaking up. Again.
Say again.
Thaniel number one has hit print from Awesome Comics.
Hmm.
So we would be very bad people if we didn't mention this. This book is now available. It's if your store doesn't have it on the shelves, ask them to order a copy for you. I think we all agreed that we'd like the book. The story was interesting. The artwork is a very unique concept where it's all black and white with gray tones, but the blood stands out in bright red, and it's blood-o-rama is the technique that's known as, old horror movie gimmick. But the story was great. We all loved it. The guys came on the show. They were awesome to hang out with. So I think it's important that we do point out that Faneuil number one is now available. Make sure you grab a copy.
Hear, hear. Now it's click of the week time.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Amazing X-Men, but not thinking about it. Eh.
I read it. I liked the... It wrapped up the return of Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it did. I mean, it was kind of, you know...
Did he take the body of a bunch of Bamps? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
In exchange for what? Dun-dun.
His soul. Dun-dun-dun.
But yeah, it was indeed a pretty good wrap up. I was like, okay, how are they gonna do this plane or not? And they did it relatively well.
So I already said my click of the week would be Alex and Ada number 5.
Okay. I will go ahead and say Avengers Assemble 25, since we didn't talk about it anyway.
Wow.
You talked about it.
I did. Well, yeah, I brought it up. Oh, wait, yeah, I did. Oh, never mind.
I missed that, so I can't even. Yeah,
I'm getting old, people. Don't know. Just like I said earlier, it was a pretty good read. It ended the book pretty clean. It could, like I said earlier, open up a book for Spider-Girl, which probably may not happen. So yeah, that is my pick.
Okay. I'll go. And contrary to Dirt's opinion of the book, my click of the week is Superior Spider-Man number 30. Like I said in my quickie recap, since I missed out on all the main discussion, I definitely got a kick out of a final comeuppance for Otto Octavius, although we do not, you know, don't bet on this being the last we see of them. Spoiler alert. And, you know, there's the, you know, it was just a fun read. It's nice to see the multiple storylines coming to a head, and there's definitely some development for future storylines in here. And it's, you know, Peter is back. It's pretty awesome.
And I will go with Transformers Dark Cybertron finale just because it defied all expectations and gave a very adult story to a very childish toy line of the 80s.
Okay. Oh, I forgot I wanted to bring out something of Avengers Assemble real quick. There is also a callback to the Earth Mightiest Heroes TV show.
Hmm.
And also with, what is it, Avengers 27, you also get a copy of All New Invaders number 1.
Right.
In case you didn't the first time.
Didn't another book give you Black Widow number 1, too?
Yeah, and I can't remember.
The terrible Spider-Man book that came out this week.
Oh, this one that's been bothering me, because I can't remember what book I read it from. It was within the last, 2 weeks. Some Marvel book I read ended with Morgan Le Fay.
Yes.
Avengers World.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because I mentioned that when I mentioned that, but I think that was on Twitter.
That was last week, or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was last week.
Yeah, I got around to reading it, and I was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, this again? All right.
Cool.
You know, I missed out on the talk. Did you guys talk about Avengers 27?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to do real quick. Lots of mumble Pikmin. You know, and in the new Avengers, definitely in new Avengers. But it's kind of interesting to see Hickman and I guess Marvel just trying to ramp up the AIM, the capabilities of AIM. And how, you know, the scientists in the Marvel U are not just like the whatchamacallit, the Illuminati, you know, group, you know, plus or minus a couple people like Hank Pym and whatnot. The AIM scientists are, you know, are just as capable and you know, doing all sorts of evil, nasty things. So it's kind of interesting to see them, you know, working unbeknownst to the heroes. You know, kind of stopping things and making things happen without them even knowing or suspecting at this point. So it's kind of cool to see AIM ramped up as a source of you know, as a kind of a prime antagonist.
And just because they're using AIM is one reason why I've disliked the book so far.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that they've pumped up AIM because AIM used to be just dorky dudes in beehive costumes. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I mean. I appreciate what they're, you know, built, you know, taking lesser characters or themes and building them up. But like I was saying before, I just don't care about AIM or the multiverse.
That's all.
Hydra. But what happened in New Avengers? Because none of us read that.
Let me refresh my memory. Let me see if I can pull this up. Did I read this?
If not, that's fine.
No. I did not read this one. I read last week's New Avengers.
Yeah, I'm saying I read last week's too, and I was like, what is going on in this book?
Last week's was a tough read. Last week's was definitely a tough read.
I kind of enjoyed that one.
I enjoyed it, but it was a tough read. Mm. You know?
I don't mind Simeon Bianchi's art, but besides that, okay. I'll be reading New Avengers just because keep up with the I've read this long, might as well keep reading.
Mm. You know, it's all the mumbo jumbo, you know. It's kind of, you know, like I said, this is kind of interesting.
So I want to thank everyone for tuning in live tonight if you did, or if you're watching the replay, video replay, or listening to the audio replay. Just remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Dirt is at PCN_dirt and popculturenetwork.com. Make sure to give us those nice iTunes and Stitcher reviews. And we'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday night, to discuss more comic book news and give you more reviews. So with that, we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.